White Coolies, a true story of Australian women at war, adapted from the diary written in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey. Dedicated to those nurses who did not return. Sister Davis.
Missing.
Sister Hempstead.
Missing.
Sister Gardam.
Missing.
Sister Raymond.
Missing.
Sister Jeffrey.
Here. The latest Nipponese idea is that we do night duty in the camp instead of the guards. One person has to be on duty in each block in case of fire. How the mosquitoes worry the poor souls. It isn't so bad if you own slacks, but it's wicked if you only have shorts. They eat you alive. Every now and then a Jap goes around to see that there is somebody on guard duty. And what a fuss and noise when he finds that tired-out person asleep in an old chair outside her block. We have a new horror to contend with. Every now and again during the night, an agonized scream is heard.
What? What's that?
Oh, turn it off. Damn siren.
Oh, must be an air raid. Help the lone bombers.
Shorty. Hey, wake up. Listen.
I don't want to wake up. I can hear it. Sirens yelling.
I don't think it is a siren. It's someone screaming.
Oh, it couldn't be. Go to sleep, Steady.
Anyone awake?
Yes, Blanchie.
What's that noise?
I think it's someone screaming. I'm going to see.
I'll come with you, Steady.
What's going on?
We're going to find out what that noise is.
Curiosity killed the cat.
Are you coming, Steady?
Of course.
Don't make a noise. Oh, what a night. The moon's as bright as day.
It is someone screaming. Over near the kitchens, quick.
What could have happened?
Oh, whatever it is, it isn't in the kitchen. It's in the bathroom or lavatory.
Hang on. We're coming.
Help! Help me!
No one in the bathroom.
Then it must be in here.
I am here. I got you. Please. Oh,
who is it? Where are you? I can't see anyone.
Mrs. Brogan.
Oh, look. Look, the slats over the lab are broken.
I tell you, I fall on it.
Oh, good grief. Well, quick, Shorty, you get to the other side. Mrs. Brookhouse, try not to struggle. Keep your head up. Are you right, Shorty?
Yes.
Now, reach up as far as you can, Mrs. Brookhouse. We'll have you out in a minute.
A little further.
Mind you don't go in too. If you slip me.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hang on, hand, Mrs. Brookhouse.
I'll help.
I can't get a grip. Quite a bit.
Now, help her up.
Die. Oh, mein Gott. Mein Gott. Oh, never such terrible thing. Oh,
you're all right now. How did it happen?
These lads are broke. I tumble in. Oh, never such terrible thing to have. Oh, shame.
You stay there, Mrs. Brookhouse. I'll go and see if there's some water in the kitchen.
I'll come and help you, Shorty. You stay with Mrs. Brookhouse, Steady.
Oh, you not come would be end of me, I should think. Oh, I could not got out myself.
You're all right now, Mrs. Brookhouse.
Yeah.
Just keep still.
Hey, but Sister Steady, you don't know. Oh, as nearly deep it is as I am tall, level is... inches of the top. Oh, shame. Yeah.
Hurry up.
Who's
now,
there?
If you'll stand over here, Mrs. Brookhouse, we'll throw the water over you. I'll get you cleaned up a bit.
Here we are. Yeah. Soon have you right again.
Yeah. Oh, who's good?
I've brought a little tin with me so we can bail the water over.
Oh, so good. Good.
Oh, Mrs. Brookhouse, this is awful.
Oh, so sorry. Oh, so sorry. Shorty, I cannot tell you. It was the most worst thing to happen in anybody's life.
Of course, the drains run into this thing, too, and that doesn't help matters. Now, are you ready, Mrs. Brookhouse?
Yes,
this
so
will be
sorry.
Cold.
So sorry. Thank you. Thank you.
We'll have to get up early in the morning and fill these buckets up again for the cooks.
If you can get on the working party in the morning, Mrs. Brookhouse, you can have a swim. It'll never clean you up properly.
Swim, yeah. Oh, thank you, so shame. Thank you, Sister Blanche. You were so much for helping me. I don't know what should have done. God, I think this pinch will last all my life.
As this sort of thing is now a general occurrence, we try to keep a couple of buckets of water standing ready in case of emergencies. Today, two more British women are unconscious, and 210 are down with this peculiar fever in the blocks, most of them British.
Hello, Jeff. How are you feeling this afternoon?
Oh, about the same, Shorty. I'm sick of it. I wish I could get up, but this wretched malaria on top of the bank of fever has made me so darn weak.
Yeah, I know. There's nothing you can do about it, old thing, but stay where you are. Your turn will come to go on duty.
How are things in the hut?
There's a terrible lot of sickness. It's getting worse. I don't know what's the matter with this place. I thought it was going to be so much better. We've had nothing but sickness ever since we've been here.
Extraordinary thing is, it always seems to be the British that get it the worst. We get it much more than the Dutch.
Yes, I know. I've noticed that too.
We're certainly much thinner than they are.
They don't do as much work and they've got money to buy food with. That makes a lot of difference.
Any more rumours, Shorty?
No, I don't think there's anything different. Doesn't look as if we were home for Christmas. I've been so busy off duty digging graves, I haven't had time to listen to rumours.
Digging graves?
Yes, Jeff. We've been given a special corner for the people from this camp in a Chinese cemetery. Our working squads have to dig the graves with chunkals.
It's dreadful. Oh, Shorty. Who takes the service?
Missionaries or the nuns. The cemetery's very pretty. It's on the side of the hill. There are wild jungle flowers everywhere. Mrs. Hinch and the Dutch commandant have insisted that the Japs give us wooden crosses to mark the graves. Oh, Jeff, it seems so terrible for them just to be lying out there in the jungle. Look, if some of us don't get out of here alive, no one will ever know what happened to them or to us.
Oh, this epidemic must be stopped. It's too awful.
Oh, sorry, Jeff. I'm a fine one to come here and moan all over you. It all got a bit much. I had to talk to someone, so you copped it.
That's all right, old thing.
Well, now, what can I do for you? I'd plump up your pillows if you had some pillows to plump up, but... here, sit up a bit and I'll straighten out this sacking under you. How about a wash? I can scrounge a bit of water.
Oh, don't you worry. Dr. McDowell says I can get up for a little while later on. I'll take care of myself then.
Now, don't you go and overdo it or you'll find yourself back in bed for another month or so.
Oh, don't worry, I won't. And Shorty...
Hmm?
Cheer up.
Thanks, Jeff.
Morning, Jeff.
Got some good news for you.
Oh, hello, Steady. What's happened?
Well, now that you're allowed up, if you feel you can manage it, you can do some light duties.
Oh, thank heaven for that. Be a relief to do something but lie here and fume.
Yeah, well, remember now, you're not to do anything strenuous. You're not to go lifting people or anything like that. You've only been up a couple of days.
Yes, Sister Hempstead. I'm all right, though. When can I start?
Right now. Come along to the kitchen. We'll find something for you to do.
Find something? Well, that shouldn't be hard. You must all be run off your feet.
Well, it is a bit hectic.
See you presently, Jeff.
Hello, Jeff. What are you doing here in the kitchen?
Reporting for duty. Dr. McDowell said I could get up and give a hand.
How do you feel?
Oh, a bit shaky on the pins, but I'll be all right. What'll I do first, Blanche?
You can give a hand by giving out the breakfast bowls to the patients.
The rice porridge?
Yes. Think you can manage that?
Yes, of course.
Here you are, then. Over here. Don't try to take too many bowls at once, Jeff. The trays are fairly heavy to start with.
Oh, don't worry. I'll manage. It's good to be able to do something again instead of lying around like a belted duchess while everyone else works. Now, well, I wish my knees weren't quite so wobbly. Oh, goodness, it seems a long way from the kitchen to the patients. Whoops. My legs are starting to tremble. I'd better put the tray on the floor. I feel as if I'm going to... Oh, no, no.
Jeff, what was that? What was the crash?
It was me.
Oh, Jeff, how are you hurt?
Oh, look what I've done. Oh, Blanchie, look what I've done. All the porridge, everyone's breakfast. What'll I do?
You'll come straight back to bed, my girl.
Oh, but Blanchie, the precious food that... The tray just went. I simply couldn't hold it.
Come on, let me help you up.
Hey, what's going on?
Jeff had an accident. She shouldn't be trying to do anything. She's not strong enough.
Back to bed with you, young Jeff, and no more nonsense.
Oh, but what will happen? Oh, look, some of it went into that bucket of water. Oh, I'm so sorry.
You better get her back to bed, don't you?
Right.
I'll get Dr. McDowell to come and have a look at her.
Come on, old thing. It's not the end of the world. Worst things happen at sea.
I haven't got any money or I'd make it up. Is there anything left in the kitchen?
Stop worrying. We'll find something somewhere. Come along. Only a little bit further.
It was quite the worst moment of my life to drop patients' precious food like that. It is 3 years today since this war started, and we're still sitting behind the Jap flag, flying gaily over the entrance to an internment camp. How we hate that infernal red blob. The Nips are so proud of what they did at Pearl Harbor, they're strutting about today full of their own importance. We hope we're not here to see them celebrate their fourth anniversary. Surely not. This evening, Steady came in to see me before she went on duty.
Now, Jeff, thought I'd just drop in and see you and tell you the latest news. You're to be allowed to get up tomorrow and be discharged from hospital.
Oh, grand! Out of the hospital at last. Now I can go on the nursing staff.
Oh, I'm not so sure that you'd be allowed to do that straight away.
What time can I come out, Steady?
First thing in the morning, I think. Well, I'd better go and report for duty.
You look as if you should report as a patient.
Oh, I'm fine. See you later, Jeff.
Well, thanks for coming in, Steady. And if you see Ioli, tell her to prepare the fatted calf for me.
I will.
This morning, as I left the hospital, two more Australian sisters were admitted, both suffering with banker fever and both very ill. It looks as if they'll be in hospital for Christmas, poor dears. Mother of the Dutch nuns is the Dutch commandant in the camp, and really she is a wonderful woman. Very tall and upright, she has an imposing figure. She has a rather limited supply of English, but quite enough to make herself understood. She has denied herself everything that others couldn't have, and although she grows thinner and thinner as the years go on, she never loses her beautiful smile and always handles her problems from a very practical viewpoint. Her serenity and calm are never ruffled, and she always does her best to make life more bearable for all of us.
Jeff? Jeff, where are you going?
Oh, down to the creek to get some water, Ray.
May I come with you?
Yes, of course. Oh, isn't it hot?
Unbearable. I thought I might have a bathe.
I think I will, too.
Conditions aren't getting any better, are they, Jeff? The sickness, I mean.
No.
Why is it?
I don't know. You know, we're getting cases of beriberi now.
Yes. The doctors blame the white rice we're getting.
Well, they could have something there, you know. When we used to get a little red rice, things were much better.
There's no nourishment at all in white rice.
Which is probably why the Nip stopped red rice coming into us.
Look, there's one or two others in the creek.
Oh, I'd like to spend the whole day in it.
It's the only thing I can do without too much effort.
What?
Dabbling my toes in the water.
Hello, Ray. Hello, Jeff.
Hi there, Val.
You had a swim yet, Val?
Oh, no, Ray. I'm just going in. You two coming?
Yes.
Look, you go in. I'll go upstream and fill my water can. And be careful, Ray. Don't get too energetic.
Too energetic? Oh, dear, I feel so useless.
Now, don't be silly, Ray.
Well, I do, Val. All I seem to do is sit around while the rest of you work like slaves. On the other hand, I know if I try to do things and collapse, I make more work for you.
You do your share, old thing, so don't let it worry you.
It does worry me, but there's nothing I can do about it. Oh, the water's quite cold.
Come on, let's go in. We won't wait for Jeff. Oh, this is good.
Yes. All we need is a few colored umbrellas on the bank, some little tables with iced drinks and savories laid out, and this would be the life.
Well, a few less stones would be a help.
What's it like?
Come on in. The water's fine.
Ouch! Oh, it's cold.
Oh, not when you get in, Jeff. It's wonderful.
Hey, who's that further down the creek?
Where?
Oh, you mean that girl with long clefts?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. I haven't seen her before. At least I don't think I have.
Just look at her hair. It's so fair.
They're wonderful thick plaits. Who on earth is it?
Come on. Well, let's see.
Lovely in the water, isn't it?
Oh, yes, beautiful. I have not enjoyed anything so much before.
Do you swim here often?
Oh, yes. Always I bathe here than I can.
Well, I don't know who it is.
Nor do I. Do you, Jeff? No idea.
Are you going back to the camp?
Not just Jeff. I will rest a little and perhaps go into the water again.
Oh, well, maybe we'll never know. Come on. I've got to get back with this water. Iola will be having a fit. She's waiting to make some coffee.
Hello. Where have you been?
Down for a swim, Shorty.
Oh, that sounds so normal. Down for a swim.
Well, I suppose it is going a bit far to call it a swim.
Yes.
Splashing around in a couple of feet of water isn't really what you'd call having a swim, but...
It's the nicest thing that happens here anyway.
I say, Shorty, we saw someone down at the creek. She's a stray.
Yeah? What do you mean, Jeff?
Well, none of us have ever seen her before.
Oh. Well, what's she like?
Well, she's tall... Thin.
Well, she lives in this dump. She wouldn't be fat.
Fair hair. Very long and thick plaits. Dutch, I think.
Not English, anyway.
Well, we know all the Dutch women here. By sight, anyway.
I've never seen this one before. I can't think who she is or where she came from.
Where did she go?
Nowhere. She said she was staying at the creek for a little while longer.
I don't know who it could be. Long, fair plaits.
Hmm.
Look. Now, that's funny.
Well, what, Ray?
Here's one of the nuns coming up from the creek.
So it is. Don't tell me...
That's that sister, Katrina.
Well, I'm blowed.
Hello, Sister Jeff. Do you know who I am now?
Of course, sister. I couldn't think. I mean, I didn't recognize you.
But your lovely long hair. I thought...
You thought our heads were shaven, Sister Ray?
Well, yes.
Normally they are. But you see... At the beginning of the war, Reverend Mother gave instructions that we were to grow our hair. She thought perhaps we would not be allowed to wear our habits, and she did not want us to look different from other women.
How very sensible.
Was it not so? Oh, she is very wise, the Reverend Mother. She finds a way through all our problems.
She has the smile of a saint.
You know, Sister Ray, I think she is a saint.
In the weeks that followed, the Reverend Mother smiled less. It has been too awful. One or two funerals every day. And so many young people are dying. They seem to be all right one minute, and then just drop in their tracks. All within a few hours. The funerals are arranged by the internees. We carry the coffin out to the cemetery, always escorted by a Jap guard.
Jeff?
Yes, Shorty?
Who's taking the service, do you know?
Sister Katrina.
I wonder if the guard had let us detour a little and pick some flowers for the grave.
Oh, we could ask. Penjaga.
Up a mow, Australia.
We want to go over there and pick flowers. I can't think of flowers.
You can go. Put the coffin down here. Not too long. Step up. Hi.
Thank you.
He seems almost human.
She hear you, Val. Over here, there's a pretty clump. Here, quite a lot.
Don't pick them all. Leave some.
Why?
I mean, this won't be our only trip out here today.
Oh, what's going to happen to us, Jeff? It's getting worse every day. Are they going to keep us here until there's no one left? We'll start to go soon.
Val.
Well, won't we? It's coming closer to us. First the old people, now the weakest of the young ones. And they're stronger than we are. It's like the 10 little nigger boys, one by one. 32 little nurses. Who'll be the first? And on until there are none.
Stop it, Val.
Come on,
pull yourself together, old thing. So, you carry the flowers. You'll bury your nose in them until you feel better.
Come on, Val. Don't let it get you down.
Hurry, Ostrides. Chop up.
It was hard not to stumble under our sad load. The road was so steep to where the graves gaped in the ground. One of the nuns, or a missionary, waited, holding a simple cross.
O God, by whose mercy the souls of the faithful find rest, vouchsafe to bless this grave, and appoint thy holy angel to keep it, and release the souls of all those whose bodies are buried here from every bond of sin, that they may always rejoice in thee with thy saints forever. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And so, we would set the cross in the soil, lay the flowers at its foot, and go back to the camp with heavy hearts. We were so sure we were brought to Banker Island for repatriation that our third Christmas hit us rather suddenly. There were no presents this year. We simply had not got a thing, not even paper to make Christmas cards. Ioli gave me the Christmas card I made and gave her 2 years ago, and I gave her some flowers sitting in a tiny shell I found by a fence.
Are we going to have Christmas dinner this year, Jeff?
No. You on kitchen duty, Shorty?
Yes. Silly, you know. A while back, we were released from all these chores so we could nurse. Now, if we don't do something about it, nobody seems to get through the work.
Hey, seems to be a bit of a commotion going on in the kitchen.
Sister Jeff, have you heard the good news?
No, Sister Katrina.
Are they sending us home?
No, Sister Shorty, not so good as that. But we have been given a little extra rice and two little piglets by the Japanese for being good.
Well,
come and look.
Little seeds.
The piglets are being prepared and are nearly ready to be
cooked. Oh, wonderful.
There. Can you see them?
Oh, who'd ever think that two little pigs would get such an audience as this?
Ah, they look such nice little fellows.
Out of the way, mackerel.
Here comes one of the guards to stick his nose in.
What does he want?
Out of the way, Australia. Out of the way. You, Macron, there. Get out of the way.
He's headed straight for the pigs.
He's got a knife in his hand.
He couldn't be going to take them away again, could he?
Oh, couldn't he? Part of them, anyway.
What?
He's cutting off the hind legs.
Well, perhaps he's just jointing them for us.
Hope springs eternal.
That is enough for your prisoners.
He's just calmly walking off with the best part of the piglets.
Well, I suppose we can think ourselves lucky that we can keep any of our presents. Come on, Jeff. Pick up the shovel and spade. Work, me boy. Be not afraid.
We cooked what was left of the piglets, and some of us found little bits of pork in our Christmas dinner. But we couldn't find very much Christmas spirit. All we could think of was to get out of this awful place before it's too late.
Again for a further episode of this true story of Australian women at war. White Coolies is based on the diary written secretly in a Japanese prison camp by Sister Betty Jeffrey, especially adapted for radio by Gwen Friend, and produced by Fifi Banvard for Australasian Radio Productions.